With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
So what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover. And Doc Dre, what Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, so we throwing castling. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snout hoops and heels. It's D-Rod's retirement. Make it be the super feels. Straight shoot is real. Drop a pipe bomb. Get ready to bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm. Tranquilo. I'll go Naito and give him Destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop it heavy. Tag team it like Teddy. Long going strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walk the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. These other casts are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Rich and Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts in the scene, but Rich and Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the big dog, Red Titus. And you're listening to the Running Wild podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Hey guys, this is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
And once again, another New England SummerSlam preview episode, where I find myself far from New York City, ahead of the big shows this weekend. But we got a lot to talk about, so let's hop right into it. Before we get started, just want to remind you that we're brought to you in partnership with pwponderings.com, rhworld.com, lastwordonprowrestling.com, and we're featured on the Wrestling to the Max network. All right, so I guess the big news in terms of inside the ring, we had the G21 Climax Finals, finally.
G127?
Is it 28? That's 28. 28, yeah.
28. Well, you said G21, 8, 9. You said something close.
All right. There's too many numbers and stuff. I get confused. Yeah. Why do they do? Why is it G1, by the way? Is it just something that they...
I think I looked it up, but I can't remember.
Because it's G1 Supercard, too. So
G1 Climax, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's kind of like... it's like a preview. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't know why they... call it that. I will find out very soon, but yeah.
All right, so you know, you kind of called it along the way.
Well, I mean, you know, we had Tanahashi and Okada go to a draw, and so that allowed Tanahashi to get the win, and then we had Ibushi beat Kenny, which allowed him to advance to the finals, which, you know, set up Ibushi and Tana, which was freaking incredible. I don't know. What a match. You know, definitely a hopefully a career definer for Ibushi, you know, in his quest to get to the next level. And, you know, this was just like, as much as it's like, oh, you'd like to see somebody new win, when you see Tanahashi win and it's like, yo, this guy has won 3 G1s, he's an absolute legend, it just makes you think, like, yo, there's nobody and nothing in WWE that equals this. And that's sad.
I mean, yeah.
G1 stands for grade one.
Grade one. So, like, grade A beef.
I guess, yes.
The best of the best. I mean, I won't lie, like, I was following this tournament much closer than I've followed any other G1 tournaments before, or the tag team, or anything like that. I wasn't watching it as much as you were, but definitely following it a lot more. And I thought this was, like, made for Ibushi to win. It just felt like that was a story. The Golden Lovers kind of got resolved, so then now you get some issues between them because of the title, and that's, you know, that's originally kind of like the reason they had split up in the first place, right? Or it was like they wanted to get singles. Like, they broke up as a team almost because they wanted to just pursue singles careers, and then they did, and then they came back together, and then you have him, you know, have them face off at Wrestle Kingdom. That would be amazing. But then,
right,
like,
it would have been, and, you know, I think in lieu of that, we got, you know, an awesome match between them in the semifinals.
Yeah, and I think that's further down the road. I mean, it's just like, even when I thought that, what was it? What was Wrestle Kingdom 2 years ago? Naito versus Okada?
Yes, and don't forget, last year was Naito Okada, I believe.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But don't forget that along the road here, leading up to Wrestle Kingdom, Kenny Omega is probably going to have to face Ibushi again because he beat him in the G1. So he kind of earned a title shot. Whether he gets that, you know, before Wrestle Kingdom or not, you know, remains to be seen. But it wouldn't shock me to see that, like, at, say, King of Pro Wrestling. And, you know, you never know. Maybe Ibushi wins that, you know. So who knows? We could still get it along the way.
And Ishii's promised a title shot, right? Or am I going crazy?
Yeah, because he beat him too. I would guess Yano would also get one because he also beat him.
Yano forfeits.
You know, even though there was a lot of chicanery there. But Yano did get the win. So the three of them are probably entitled to a shot.
I just think they've got so many interesting stories that they were able to use the tournament for, you know, really building up.
And that's right. Go ahead.
Building up, I mean, Zack Sabre Jr. even more, building up Switchblade, which, I mean, like, 7 months ago or whatever, people were, like, laughing at Switchblade and saying that he wasn't working.
Yeah,
I mean,
before this tournament started.
Like, he didn't matter, he was terrible, let him go away, and now it's completely different. So it's just amazing what they were able to use the tournament for.
And you know, something like this, and yes, this is the 28th, you know, anniversary of this, but something like this, could you imagine this in WWE if we had something like this, building up the stars, telling the stories throughout this entire tournament? It just makes, it's like you said, you know, two guys, Sabre, you know, came into, what was it last year that he came into and he did really well and he almost won the whole thing. It was another tournament that they had. So, you know, they use these tournaments to put guys over. And look at what happened in this one. Okada lost his first three, and then he was in the last match with the chance to win it all. So they still find a way to put everyone over and still have the guys that they want, you know, come out on top. So, yes, this ended with Tanahashi, an all-time legend, winning it, but Ibushi and White and Sabre are all made men. And Sonata had a hell of a run. Evil had great matches. Adam Page had great matches. So, you know, there are like seven guys that really benefited and took huge steps forward from this tournament. So, you know, things like this are huge in storytelling and building things up. And, you know, from watching this entire thing, It was really cool to see, and you really got to appreciate when it came down to the semis and the finals and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I thought was really nice about the final was having Shibata come out as the second.
That was awesome.
I thought that was just a great, I mean, just so smart.
At the beginning of the match, some people were maybe chanting Ibushi. I don't know that I've ever heard it that loud.
Like, yeah.
That was crazy.
That was like, that kind of reminded me of like Rock Hogan WrestleMania 18 like buzz from the crowd. So that was it was really great, man. It was a really enjoyable tournament. I'm definitely looking forward to watching more of it next year overall. But I just thought it was top to bottom good stuff, and I wish other companies would run something similar. It'd be fun.
You know, and I think that's why I've become such a fan of the Battle of Los Angeles and things like that, because it's always fun to see a tournament. It's always fun to see, you know, that guy come out on top, get a title shot, get whatever the reward is. So, you know, they're always enjoyable. And, you know, even if WWE brings back something like King of the Ring, that's a perfect thing. It has a history. You can put the 16 top guys. You can build up someone like McIntyre, etc. You know, it's a little tougher with a single elimination, but you can still make it work and finagle your way around that to really build up three guys, you know, and that's where it's a shame. You know, we were talking about the other day how, like, there's nobody in WWE right now. There's nobody that's like, oh, man, that guy, oof, former six-time champion. There is none of that. And, yeah, maybe there is because he won the belt 6 times in 6 weeks. So just watching things like New Japan, it really sucks, because you just watch WWE and it's like, man, what the fuck? Like, they should be on the same level with building the talent, having all these things, but they don't.
They have the network. They have the hours on TV. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody, and maybe I'm wrong. You guys can send us an email at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. We just want to check if the email works, to be honest. So if you guys could send us one, we'd appreciate it. But, you know, do you think that most of the WWE universe would enjoy this kind of tournament? Because I don't see why not. It gives purpose.
Yeah, I couldn't see a reason why not. You know, think about how many people enjoy this particular tournament, and now, you know, in America, you know, the majority of wrestling fans know WWE, and I'm sure something like this, where, you know, if there was an entire summer long tournament, maybe that would bring back some people that, you know, stop watching, like, oh shit, you know, say this was 15 years ago, oh shit, Rock and Hogan are in the finals of this tournament, man, that's going to be epic. But now, what do you even do? Like, oh, cool, Dolph Ziggler is fighting Drew McIntyre in the finals. Great. You know, so, you know, this is something else we discussed the other day. You know, just imagine, let's just name a handful of guys. In my opinion, Carlito, Cody, John Morrison, there was someone else, maybe MVP, he's a little bit older, but, you know, those three guys and Dolph, those four guys are young enough where they should have been right now your main event guys. They should have been your guys who have won every belt. They won King of the Ring. They won the Rumble. Those four or five guys could have been your staples now, where instead of just having Cena and Orton, you have five guys who are kind of hitting their prime right now, or maybe a little bit older than their prime. But, you know, it just sucks.
Well, speaking of Orton, did you hear about that crazy story?
No.
They're looking into some stuff that he used to harass like writers who joined the team. Like, he would take his member out and grab himself and then offer a handshake and then be like, "What are you, big legging me?" And like corner dudes in the office.
Okay. Considering he's shitting people's bags, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, why are we surprised by this? And it's also correct. Like, you know, it's 15 right, years like, ago.
How big was the internet when he did that? Like, that got out, and it was, you know, I know it was a different time, but there was no consequences whatsoever. And now, you know, because he held his dick in his hand and then tried to make you shake it, it is what it is, man.
It sounds like an old boys school locker room
Right. Like some of the, you know, sexual harassment, all that kind of stuff. There is no place for that.
No, no.
100%. Some of this stuff is like, that's the boys being the boys in the locker room. Like, come on, man. Get over it.
Yeah. I mean, ribbing was, you know, was part of, you know, the culture for a long time. Right. So that sounds like a terrible rib. I don't think, in my mind, he's not really sexually assaulting. I mean, I guess, you know, obviously it can be looked at that way, and that's why you shouldn't do stuff like that, but...
Everything is looked at that way, yeah. And that's the issue. You know, I have no problem with real things that really happen, but certain things people just want to be involved or just be sensitive to or just complain about. Hey, it is what it is, man. I don't know.
Yeah, listen,
let the guy wrestle.
People dig through people's history, their tweets. Oh, my God. I'll you know, the other day, somebody liked a tweet of mine that was 8 years old. I don't really even understand why somebody was looking at my tweets from 10 years ago. Mm. I am not a famous person. I believe it was about the Nasty Boys. So it's a very. I just don't even understand why somebody would be doing that, but people are doing it all over the place, man. You can't. You know,
forget about like what you've written on Twitter in the past 15 years. Like anybody who's going through somebody's Twitter history for the past 10 years, get a fucking life. Do something productive with that time. Write a blog, write a book report. I don't know. Do something other than scroll through someone's tweets looking for something that they said when they quoted a song or they said something insensitive. Get the fuck over it. Move on. Let's go.
I can't, I can't even. I don't understand any of that stuff. Moving on with more WWE news outside of the ring before we get to the cards. You know, obviously, RIP to Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Just days before we recorded this, you know, news came out that you know, we're recording this on Tuesday, by the way, just for a frame of reference. You're probably listening to this on Thursday. But essentially, news came out that he took a bad spill in his home. Hit his head, started having seizures or something, and unfortunately passed away. I mean, just, you know, he wasn't sick. I mean, you could tell that the years of the wrestling road had worn him down a little bit. When you saw clips of him on, like, Total Divas and things like that, it was clear that he seemed a little, you know, off. But he was in good health, you know, generally speaking. So this was just kind of a real shocking blow. I mean, and still a young guy. I mean, sadly, we can say that for that time period of those wrestlers, I mean, 63 is actually pretty
right,
old.
Right, but
them,
I mean,
sadly.
You know, he didn't die for really due to any causes. Like, you know, that's what really sucks.
Yeah.
Like, if you die from the abuse of the ring or you die from, you know, being sick, whatever. But to fall down and hit your head, I get it. You know, he was a little bit older and years of abuse maybe on the head. That doesn't help. However, that's something that could happen to any one of us.
Yeah, man.
And that's a scary thought, you know, that God forbid anybody wakes up tomorrow and falls down something and you know, hits
I mean,
their head
happened
and
to
that's
you.
It.
I mean,
that's,
you fell
right,
down your stairs.
I thought about the same thing. And, like, I broke my leg and, you know, that was miserable. But it could have been a whole
yeah.
lot, a lot worse. And that's always what I told myself through that entire thing, is that I could have broke my neck. I could have been dead. So it's really, really sad that something just so unexpected and so, like, fluke and freaky like that, where you have a bad fall and land in the wrong place. And, you know, that's really sad. So I don't know. Everyone be careful. Make sure everyone's all right, you know. Tell everyone you love them. And, yeah.
Yeah, man. I just never. I mean, I grew up grabbing my fake goatee for
exactly.
like.
Exactly.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
How's the year? Still do it.
Yeah. So I grab it and my beard's not that long. Your beard actually gets that long. Mine never does. And I still... sad story. All right. I guess right before we go into the card, just two more things. ROH and New Japan sold out the Garden. Were you surprised?
No. I think we talked about this a little bit, you know, that we wouldn't really be surprised. It is a big arena, but as soon as those initial reports came out of they sold 12,000 in the pre-sale or something, that was just going to be a layup, that in 20 minutes the rest of those tickets were going to be gone. I don't know. Luckily, you were able to secure two of those for us, and so I'm not we'll be there. That's a long time away. But, you know, can't wait.
No, I'm super excited about it. It's crazy because they didn't, we don't even know who's going to be there. I mean, like, everybody assumes.
We know Okada, Tanahashi, and Naito.
Yeah. But from the Ring of Honor side.
Right.
You know, it's kind of crazy to think that we don't know.
Well, who could it be from Ring of Honor? Like, it honestly doesn't matter who's there from Ring of Honor. Okay, all of those guys could and should be there. You know what I mean? Or if not, like if I don't know, if Jay Lethal isn't available to be there.
But like, imagine the Bucks aren't there. Imagine Cody's not there.
Right, but if I can go down the street the next day and watch the Bucks and Omega at WrestleMania, then it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be upset about them not being at the Garden. It would be awesome. It would be epic. However, if these guys make a move for their lives and careers, then hey, it is what it is. So right now, we know there will be a couple Japanese superstars there. And I mean, that's the biggest thing for me because, you know, while it will be cool to see these Ring of Honor guys in Madison Square Garden, seeing someone like Okada there, man, like... Like watching that dude wrestle Rey Mysterio at the G1, you know, in the 6-man tag, it just felt amazing because, like, when would you ever think you would see that?
So, and that dude's been wrestling for 30 years.
Who?
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. So, even more so, of like, you know, you thought this guy's career was over 10 different times. Now he's making a full comeback and looking awesome. You know, seeing him in the ring with Okada was just like mind blowing.
That was
so
weird.
You know, seeing those guys in Madison Square Garden, I don't know.
It's gonna be great, man. I haven't been to the Garden for wrestling. I can't
since
remember
since that Royal Rumble, maybe. I don't know, a couple of Raws,
something like that. I mean,
maybe a SummerSlam back then.
I feel like the last Raw I can remember going to is definitely Barclays, where Brian was
there.
Well,
yeah.
But then it's kind of like we've moved into the Barclays era, so I haven't been back to the Garden. I don't go to house shows generally, so.
Which is why it's nice that, they were able to get this deal and get it done despite WWE trying to hold them out of it. And, you know, I can't wait to see.
Super hyped. All right, let's move on to the show previews. So we've got NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4. So the first match we have is EC3 versus Velveteen Dream. Oof. I'm really excited about it. I don't watch as much NXT from week to week as I probably should be watching. I think I've talked about this before on the show, but Wednesday, by the time I get to Wednesday, I get to a little bit of wrestling exhaustion depending on the week, so I kind of need a little bit of a break. So I end up binging a lot of it, but man, EC3 has been super. It's crazy the talent. I think we say this all the time, but
NXT is
the talent they have there. It's not fair. It's it's not triple A. You know, like it's almost really like it's separate. amazing thing.
Right. Like, it's just as good as anything else that WWE puts on. And it's not even like you can say, oh, well, it's the stories, it's the this. No, it's just like, look at the talent that they have there. Anyone on NXT has been a top guy and a champion in any promotion that they were in, ROH, PWG, Evolve, wherever, it doesn't matter. All of those guys are studs. And, you know, so like you go down the card and Velveteen Dream and EC3, Adam Cole, Johnny, Tommaso, I'm sure Keith Lee will be on the you know, matches that they film for TV pre-show. So, you know, things like that, Riddle will probably be in the audience. You just look at that kind of stuff and it's like, man, how does like the indies still have talent? But they're still thriving. So is NXT. Hopefully in a couple years, all of these guys are called up and WWE is running, you know, then maybe they're on New Japan type of organization levels.
I mean, and, you know, you mentioned Matt Riddle. We don't know. I mean, Stokely had his, you know, he lost a retirement I Quit match at Evolve 111 this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine he's being brought in as the mouthpiece, you know, for Keith Lee or for Riddle or for anybody. I mean, he's a huge talent, you know. He's like to me, he's a Heenan or like Jimmy Hart level manager, in that he's a dude who can manage the curtain jerker and then also be managing the guy in the main event and be playing super important roles, you know, in the storylines for everything.
I think we saw everything that Stokely could do, whether it was manage Thatcher, manage Catch Point, right? We saw singles, we saw an entire group, TJP. We saw a little bit of everything. Then, you know, in we've seen him go to war with Chuck Taylor over a name. We've seen him, you know, have the I Quit match. He looked to be in phenomenal shape. So I don't know. You know, Stokely's always someone, you know, we've had him on the podcast. We've talked to him. He's an awesome guy. He's, you know, super talented. So, you know, I really hope that something like that would be the case. And it's not something that we've heard or anything like that. But, you know, that would be really cool and that would be awesome for him.
Yeah, no, I hope that it works out for him. So what do you think, EC3 or Velveteen Dream?
I feel like Velveteen Dream literally never wins.
Yeah, right?
But I'm probably going to go with EC3, probably just for that reason. EC3 is on the way up, so is Velveteen Dream, but Dream seems to be in that position at the moment, at least, of, you know, go out there, kill it with every one of these new guys, put them over, and in turn, you get over even more. But, you know, we saw it with Ricochet, we saw it with Black. So Velveteen Dream is just amazing, and he'll continue to do his job.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's enough of a character where wins and losses aren't that killer to him.
Not yet. This continues, it will be.
Yeah, no, total agreement there. But I go with EC3 as well. And we have the NXT Women's title match. Shayna Baszler is defending against the Pirate, Kairi Sane.
Right. This was a rematch of the Mae Young Classic final.
Yep.
With the Mae Young Classic currently going on and being filmed and all that sort of stuff.
Big mistake, by the way. Just air that stuff. I don't know why you got to do this.
Yeah, I don't know why they film it and then air it a month later or whatever the case. But that's beside the point at the moment. So, you know, it's cool to see that now, like, on NXT, they're still a thing, and they're going strong with that little bit of a feud and that story. So we'll see if Kairi can get the better of Shayna again, or if Shayna is gonna just destroy her, which I really think should happen. And I think we should get a picture at least of Baszler and Rousey, you know, both holding their titles.
Yeah, no, I think they're gonna keep them together. I think that we never know what's going to happen at the All Women's Event Evolution. I mean, I think it's been spoken about for 10,000 years, but, you know, the four horsewomen of the UFC versus the horsewomen of WWE. I mean, if it's going to happen.
And now I'm thinking, so what if, I don't know if the other two girls are ready yet. I know they're down at NXT.
Marina
Shaffer,
yeah, she's been wrestling.
I know they're wrestling, but I'm saying I don't know if they're ready, like, for the main roster, you know? But What I was thinking like would be a crazy idea. The women's tag titles have been rumored for a little bit. Sasha and Bayley have hinted at them. It kind of makes me feel like that's why They're being paired up at the moment is to win those tag titles. But what if at the Women's Evolution you have the other two Four Horsewomen beat, you know, Sasha and Bayley in the finals, and then the Four Horsewomen have, you know, the four big women's titles other than the SmackDown title. But, you know, that's a pipe dream at the moment. Maybe that can happen down the line. But I'm just saying something like that would be pretty cool. And, you know, as they continue to expand the women's division and stories and everything like that.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I mean, I'm going to go with Baszler. I think she retains here. I think they continue to keep her looking strong. I don't know if the four horsewomen thing is going to happen soon, but I don't think it's a bad look to have Baszler keep the title for now.
No.
You have the NXT Tag Team title match. You have the Champions Undisputed Era versus Mustache Mountain. I mean, at this point, I feel like it's Mustache Mountain keeps kind of... Undisputed Era keeps, like, squeaking by and keeping their titles. I almost feel like it's time for Mustache Mountain to win the titles.
It'll be interesting because they lost the titles in London however a month or whatever ago, and then they won them back on the next night. So, you know, this feud has been going on for a long time since Roddy turned on Dunn at the TakeOver. And so I'm excited for this match. Mustache Mountain is cool. Bate is really good. So, you know, it should be a really good match. And, yeah, I'll agree with you. I think Mustache Mountain gets the win here.
Yeah, as much as I'll be clear. If Undisputed Era wins, I'll be ecstatic. I want them to win, but I think that Mustache Mountain takes it away here.
You know, I think the same thing goes. I think the same thing goes for Cole versus Ricochet, which we can get to next. But you know, Adam Cole was in the Royal Rumble. I don't know how long after 3 months, if even I don't know after he debuted. So. They have plans for Adam Cole. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, God, just to think that all of Undisputed Era could be beltless by the end of the night.
Yeah, maybe they're beltless and then maybe they're on Raw.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, like, that's kind of the thing,
with
right?
Them, right, like with them, they're just so good that it doesn't, you know, they could always be something. But we've seen how tag teams are used on the main roster, and it really sucks. So until they figure out, I don't know, how to use their time a little bit better, then I don't necessarily want to see O'Reilly and Roddy or Fish or whoever called up with Cole.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting styles here with Ricochet and Cole, because Cole's really not that high-flying based style, so he's not going to match Ricochet like that.
Right, but like, see, so this is something where, like, before Adam Cole, like when he left ROH and came to WWE, there was a gap. Right, like in between when we last saw him. And then, like, you would see Adam Cole and you'd be like, wait, why did I like this guy so much? Like, you forget how good he is.
Yeah.
And then you watch him and it's like, oh, yeah, this is what all the hype was about. Yeah, I totally remember now. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I love Cole. I'm going to pick Cole here, even though I think I'm wrong. It's going to be Ricochet.
I don't know. We've been picking some favorites early on, and I think this would be a good time for Cole to steal a win. It's not going to hurt Ricochet, and it, you know, it's just going to help build up Cole and get some more sympathy for Ricochet if and when he wins it at the next one or whenever.
Agreed. And last match we have is a match I've been waiting. Man, I mean, how long is since they became a team, right? Was it 2-3 years ago? NXT Tag.
Yeah, because at Johnny posted something the other day that was he's the first person to wrestle in 3 TakeOver Brooklyns, and you know, the first one was the debut or whatever, the birth of DIY. So yeah, I would say 3 years ago was how long you've been waiting.
That's, I mean, I at that point, I remember talking about it, thinking that Ciampa was going to turn on him. I never thought that I could, even knowing what was going to happen, hate someone so much. And I really hate him. I really hate Ciampa. I mean, he's money on Twitter. I mean, he just posts like crazy things. Like, he said something like he defended the belt 3 times in 12 days. Like, you know, he's your fightingest, like, NXT champion. So, like, he's the worst kind of human. And,
is he lying? I mean,
I hope he gets, I'm wearing my Johnny Wrestling shirt. We're out to dinner tonight. I mean, I'm not sure if that's really, my wife's probably upset. I mean, I realized I packed my bag. I think for 7 days I packed like 5 wrestling shirts. I was like, listen, it's SummerSlam week. I mean, what do you want me to do? I'm on vacation. I gotta make sure everyone on vacation knows that I should be back in Brooklyn watching wrestling.
Right. And I mean, you know, this really, really, really could go either way. Johnny could definitely get the win and walk out. But I could also see Ciampa, you know, kind of being a douche some way and finding a way to get this win. I don't think that's the case. I think we get the Johnny Wrestling win and the place blows up because of how insane they go. But yeah, I'm going to go with Johnny Wrestling, but man, last man standing. It sucks that Aleister Black got hurt. However, making this a one-on-one last man standing match, not the worst thing.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe that was by design. Maybe he's not really hurt and he's just going to show up on WWE at some point. But, you know, either way, last man standing, one-on-one, epic.
If Ciampa wins, there are no words to describe how angry I would be. I mean, I don't know. I just love Johnny Gargano, man. Like, he's just a good dude. Seems like a super nice guy. Got to meet him once. Very nice. He's the ultimate. He's that underdog. I mean, he's my favorite kind of guy to root for, you know?
As we've seen over the course of this podcast. Yes.
It doesn't usually go well when I root for these guys, but I have a feeling in my gut. Got a feeling in my gut that this time...
You still expect it to.
I finally pay off. It doesn't... I thought it was going to be... I thought last time when... I thought Johnny was going to win that match and Ciampa turned it around and beat him. I couldn't believe that.
It's built up to this match and Johnny getting the win and, you know, being the ultimate victor in this story. So, man, I can't wait to see it.
All right, so that's NXT. Let's head into
that's
SummerSlam.
That's pretty much it for the weekend, right? There's nothing else going on.
No, you're not going to the show, right? Like, you wouldn't be going to SummerSlam. Like, you're not going to be caught dead there. I mean,
certainly wouldn't be there at all. Definitely not, no.
I can't believe you're going. On a side note, I'm very upset about this. All right.
Friends in high places, man. Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
All right. So let's get into the SummerSlam card. You know, just crazy. I mean, as of time that we're recording this, just a couple of names that we don't know if they're wrestling. I mean, right now, they're not announced, right? Right now, Sasha and Bayley, I don't think, are announced. The Asuka is not going to be on the card, but she's been oddly absent. Bobby Roode's not on the card. Nia Jax, The Bar, The Usos. I mean, just like tons of dudes who are not on SummerSlam this year. Just kind of crazy.
All right, but what are you, all right, so...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
How would you suggest to use them? Would you want a 47-team Battle Royal?
I always like Battle Royals. So I don't mind them. Yeah,
For the tag teams, I don't know. It is what it is. There's spots for 4 tag teams on the show. You could have another tag team rivalry, but that's just, I don't know, that's not how they operate. There's just too much stuff going on for them to figure all that out. Bobby Roode, yeah, has kind of floundered since he came up. Same with Asuka, they just haven't used her. There was rumors today that she quit, which were just, you know, not true. So I don't know. You're not wrong with the names that you mentioned, but you know, people complain about everything. If these guys were on the show and the show was another 4 hours, then they would complain about that too. But you know, sometimes people are going to get left off. It's really unfortunate, but you got to hope in the bigger picture, you know, maybe something works out.
Yeah. All right. So on the kickoff show, we're going to have, I don't know why I'm kind of hyped about this, but we're going to have Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega taking on Rusev and Lana. I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to this match for some reason. I like when guys have, for me, Vega more than Lana, right? But it's just...
No, that's not even, like, that's not a fair match. Like, Lana and Vega is...
No. What I mean is, like...
I'm just saying, just in general.
In terms of them being managers, like, types. Right. You know, like, I really like that role in some ways is being worked here. And I'm excited about it. I mean, I hope that after this, obviously, both Almas and Rusev get a little bit more, but it's at least both of them are on the card,
right? And you know, I don't think this is the worst thing. We talked about it last year, Mania with Miz and Cena with Maurice and Nikki. You know, these mixed tag matches are a thing, especially at SummerSlam. You know, so something along this is pretty cool because they're kind of so rare to see, especially with, you know, two guys actual managers. So this, I think this is a cool spot for them. It's nice to see like a little bit of a face Rusev. I like that they got Happy Lana Day shirts. Like, that just makes sense. So yeah.
Freaking terrible. I'm going to go. So, I mean, like you said, Rusev and Lana are the faces. They've been losing the last couple of weeks. They lost, dead one-on-one matches. So your typical tag team build. I think the faces win here.
Sure.
Then you.
Man, Almas is just so good. I'm gonna say he gets the win.
See, like, you know, that's who I want, right? The boy, La Sombra. But
yeah. Well, then be a man and, you know, pick him.
I'm trying to. I know that we've got a lot of people tracking our stats for these picks, and I think I'm in the lead by two, so I don't want to lose right now. So I'm picking to win. So I'm picking Rusev and Lana.
Yeah.
Then we got the Cruiserweight Championship being defended. Cedric Alexander, champion, defending against Drew Gulak. I think this is Gulak's. This is Gulak's time. I think Cedric's had the belt for quite a while, and I'm really looking for my boy Drew here. I really like his character. I like his persona. I think it's different on 205 Live. I think he's great, and I want to see him win this title.
Yeah, he's awesome. I think it would provide some much needed entertainment on 205 Live. Cedric is great in the ring and all that stuff, but you know, I think Drew winning it and you know having those underdog guys kind of chase him would be pretty good. And you know, it's not like Drew is a joke. Like he's a legitimate wrestler, yeah. So like you know he can really beat these guys. Without the high flips and all that kind of stuff. So that would be a cool story.
Agreed. All right. So you're officially going with Drew?
Sure.
Okay. And we got Balor versus Baron Corbin. I don't know. I mean, Balor's got to win, right? I mean, this is a match that I think you put between almost the main events or something. Just because no one's gonna care. I mean, you can't start a show off with this show. With this, this is not gonna be the first match on the show proper. It's got to be somewhere in the middle that kind of gives people time to go to the bathroom. I hate to say it. I love Finn Balor, but this is. I don't think anyone cares about him versus Constable Corbin.
Yeah, it's a far, far, far cry from when I was in the building 2 years ago watching Balor. I think it was 2 years ago, maybe three. Beat.
That's
Seth Rollins to win the Universal. Yes, also for free. But it's really a shame how far Balor has fallen and how that injury kind of just derailed everything. So, you know, I think he gets the win here because I don't really think Corbin needs it at all. But he is a big bully and he does run his mouth, so you never know.
Yeah, Corbin does need to win. Although
I do like this Constable Corbin, though. It's better than Baron Corbin, right?
Oh,
I wonder if they did something like that. Like, oh, Baron, that's like a lord, right? So let's just go Constable. We'll just change like his
Jesus
title.
Christ.
Like his name. Like, what if tomorrow, like on Raw, like or whatever, you know, their explanation was like his name wasn't ever, his first name was never Baron. That was his title.
I will say that Stat Wife very rarely watches Raw with me. To be fair, I also very rarely have it on the TV. You know, if I'm going to watch
it.
I
also very rarely watch Raw.
No, but I'll watch it like on the side, you know, on the iPad or something where I'm watching like CMLL on the screen because, you know, I like to piss you off. And she's like, whoa, he looks so much better. And I was like, I looked at her like, hey, whoa, don't forget, you know, you're still married to this guy.
It's amazing. The difference that a haircut can make.
Oh my God!
You know, nice little tease for our Intercontinental title preview when we get there.
Certainly,
which is probably next at this point.
Not the way I'm going. We'll get there.
I also don't know because there's like 47 matches on this show.
That's the problem. All right, so we're both going Balor.
Sure.
Okay. Then we have Raw Tag Team Championships: the B Team versus the Revival. The B Team.
Who won this match on Monday? The B Team won, right?
The B Team won, yeah.
So they're like, why the hell are the Revival getting another shot?
It's like.
Because they didn't lose? Like, Authors of Pain should be. I don't. I guess, like,
who?
Maybe they're holding that off? Or I don't know.
Who's the. Who? The what?
Yeah. Those Sorry. Guys. The guys who write books about people getting injured.
I don't know. I mean, I guess the B Team. I think the B Team retains here. I don't know what's happened. I mean, the B Team's kind of fun. The Revival should get a title reign soon at some point before one of them gets injured and then they can't do it. So
maybe
do it
the
now.
Revival wins the titles and holds them all the way to WrestleMania and then FTR, baby. I'm just kidding, guys. Don't even. That's good one.
Oh, that'd be crazy. But I'm sorry. I still think the B Team. For some reason, I think the B Team's going to retain.
I don't care because, like, the B Team is entertaining. So, yeah, sure, go ahead. Hold the tag titles. You know?
Yeah, they do make me laugh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. The Bludgeon Brothers are defending against the New Day. New Day had won a tag team tournament to earn the spot.
I mean, now my theory gets even better. New Day wins, holds the titles to WrestleMania, and then we have FTR, New Day, and the Bucks. Bang.
Oh my God!
All right, sorry, wet dreams, guys.
That's correct. See now, does New Day even?
My co-host has to go clean himself off. We'll be right back after these messages.
I don't think I could handle that. My head would explode. My head would explode if that happened.
I wonder. Like, I think the three of them would do everything they could to keep it quiet. But I truly, truly wonder. If those three just showed up on Raw or wherever one day, what the reaction would be like. Because that would have to be one of the most shocking moments ever, right? Like, if they just showed up inside Raw, like,
I can't even, I'm not even, I'm just going to deal with this match.
I'm just saying, I just want to think of that reaction. Like, that shit would be, I don't even know.
I hope it doesn't happen on Raw, because I'd probably miss it, and I'd be going to run to my DVR and watch it.
That would suck. Speaking of spoilers, New Japan, how about we don't post what the G1 final is that morning, so that people who wake up to watch the show from 5 o'clock in the morning
don't
get spoiled.
They
but
don't care. They know
I
you'll
know
still
know.
Watch it. Did you watch the whole match?
Of course not. Are you kidding me?
So it doesn't matter.
I watched the entire match, and I was still like on the edge of my seat. It didn't, like, Ibushi versus Omega was something that I wasn't going to miss, you know, but yeah. All right, anyway, back to SummerSlam.
So, I don't know. Does New Day beat the Bludgeon Brothers? I mean,
who honestly cares about the Bludgeon Brothers? They're cool. Yeah. Cool gimmick, I guess. But at this point, I'm done with them.
Yeah.
WWE needs tag teams. They badly need tag teams, man. Like, it's, you know, you don't think about it as much, but then you watch, like, a Bucks match, and it's like, oh, holy shit. These, like, a team can really make a huge difference in the company, you know?
Teams that, like, you know, I just feel like every team is, like, the Rockers model at this point. It's almost like the longer they're together, the more you're just waiting for which one's going to turn on the other one. Except for New Day.
Are we? Cool. Like, is Harper going to turn on him? Like, is this like the fourth time?
I hope that doesn't happen. I guess every team. I don't know. I don't think every title's going to change here. All right. I'm going to go with Bludgeon Brothers retain.
Yeah. I'll just say the New Day. We get that pop.
All right. Then we have a Money in the Bank briefcase match where Strowman, the current holder, is defending it against Kevin Owens. Man, I don't know. I mean, okay, I feel like the easy answer is Strowman retains.
I don't know why you would even think twice about this question. Kevin Owens is not. I mean, you know. Maybe because everyone thinks that that's not going to happen, like, it happens. That would be absolutely epic. But I think we leave SummerSlam with Braun as the champion.
It would just be crazy if Braun loses to Owens here, and Owens is that dude who ends up taking it from, you know, Roman at the end of the night. It would be super amazing. But no, I think I'm overthinking it. Strowman wins and keeps the briefcase.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I think this is very smart for WWE to do, like, put this on the line, and we have had situations in the past where the guy has lost, so, you know, it's not completely out of the question, but I don't think it happens here.
Yeah, no, I agree, I think I'm just overthinking. I didn't even know this was a thing. I forgot that Shinsuke was the U.S. champion. He's defending against Jeff Hardy. I mean, are you more or less interested in this match than you are Baron and Balor?
Probably equal levels of, like, negativity, because I honestly don't really care about either. I'm excited to see a couple of entrances in these matches, but the match, whatever. I'm with you. When I was watching Raw and I saw, like, a commercial for SmackDown, I was like, oh, shit. Nakamura's the U.S. champ. Wow, that's nice. It's pretty bad when you don't watch it enough to remember who the champions are. And that just really sucks for WWE, because you watch other companies and they do shit right. So it's not out of the question, you know?
So I call Shinsuke wins because Orton costs Hardy the match, and then Orton rubs himself and then goes to shake Shinsuke's hand at the end.
And he shakes it because he's a real man.
And then he kicks him in the nuts, because that's what he does. And then we move on.
Sure. I might just say Hardy wins because Orton interferes. So, you know, just semantics.
Okay, fair. We're getting through there, buddy.
Yeah, we're almost halfway. Yeah.
All right. So now we've got a Intercontinental Championship. Dolph Ziggler, the champion, is defending against Seth Rollins. So, I don't know. I mean, it almost felt like Rollins wasn't going to be in this match, that Balor was going to end up being the guy who got the title shot, and that didn't happen. I don't think you take it off Ziggler right now. I think he's super hot, and I think he needs the title to kind of keep doing what he's doing.
I think we discussed this last week, and I said Ambrose was going to come out and help Rollins at SummerSlam and turn on him on Raw. Instead, we got the Ambrose return on Raw. So I really don't know. Maybe he turns on him at SummerSlam. Maybe it's after. But maybe not at all. But I just, like, yesterday, Monday Night Raw, was the first time, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years, maybe, like, since the Shield split up, that I've really cared about Dean Ambrose. And that was my guy. Like, I love that dude more than anyone in the Shield. And then afterwards, they just kind of lost their way with him, and he was kind of stumbling, and he got hurt, unfortunately. But blessing in disguise again. He comes back with his hair cut. Hopefully that leads to a fresh look at some point with, you know, some underwear instead of jeans. But I, you know, was very excited to see him. Can't wait to see what he does upon his return after SummerSlam. And I really hope it's not just more of the same. You know, I hope they freshen up his character like he freshened up his look.
I just love that. I think a wrestling podcast is the only place where you'll hear two grown men in very serious
hoping
conversations
that
say,
else wears underwear.
Yeah, like, I hope he gets rid of those pants and starts wearing underwear.
Yeah.
You make a good point. I mean, I feel like after, I don't know, seeing Ziggler with the title and McIntyre in his corner, it just almost feels like I'd like it to go on for a little bit longer, but I could see.
But now, right? But now, like, this is the counterpunch, right? Like, this is like, okay, you've gotten the better of me because it's 2-on-1. Now it's 2-on-2.
And now I still win because McIntyre is bigger.
It could very well be. And you know, Ambrose could just not do enough. That would also be fine. But if this leads to an Ambrose heel turn, and then that's what I want. So, like, whatever is the best result to give me that, that's what I'm going to go with. So I'm going to say that Rollins wins, and then I'm going to hope that Ambrose turns on him on Monday and wants that IC title.
What do you think happens? What happens with Ziggler?
Him and McIntyre can be whatever. I don't know how long that lasts. Sometimes you see McIntyre get a little frustrated with him. And you know, McIntyre is this big beast, so he should be like, all right, come on, little guy. Like, I shouldn't be having to help you all this much. So I can very easily see them splitting up, and then I don't know what happens with Ziggler. But I've enjoyed this one. I've enjoyed him with the IC title. So I don't know.
All right. So we're at different sides here. I'm sticking with my boy Ziggs. And then we'll see what happens. All right. Then we have probably, I mean, easily one of the best matches on the show, Bryan versus Miz.
Yeah, and, you know, this is something that has been building when we didn't know that it was a possibility. So with how good the Miz has been, you know, since he started insulting Bryan, like, he took his game to another level. He's been awesome. Bryan is Bryan. It just kind of hit me that I'm going to get to watch Daniel Bryan wrestle.
Damn you.
That's something that I didn't know that I would ever get to see again, honestly. So that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, I mean, Bryan has to, no. See, I don't know.
Yeah, I think. See, I'm with you though, because knock on wood, who knows how long Bryan sticks around. So the Miz getting a win here, isn't the worst thing for the company. You know, in the long term, he can use that to talk as much shit as possible. Maybe go after AJ. So yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm going to go with the Miz.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be upset.
No. I wouldn't be upset if Bryan won. Not at all.
Wouldn't be upset if Bryan won?
No, I wouldn't. I would not be upset if
he won. Well,
I'm saying
I wouldn't be upset if the Miz won.
I wouldn't be. Yeah, I don't. I mean, honestly, I'm just happy these guys are wrestling, and I think either way, it's going to be great.
Oh, man.
Because, like, if Miz wins, he can continue to talk so much crazy trash. And then, you know, I'm almost interested for Miz to lose and then to hear his excuses afterwards. You know?
Right, because this is kind of like his comeuppance that Bryan finally gets. So, you know, it could also go that way. Like, Bryan deserves this comeuppance, you know?
It's going to be so good. That could almost, for me, be the main event, and I'd be super happy.
This is definitely the match that I'm looking forward to the most. Not that there aren't others, but this is the one that I'm the most excited for.
All right, let's go. We got a couple. Now we just have a couple title matches. We've got SmackDown Women's Championship. Carmella is champion, defending against Becky Lynch and Charlotte. It was originally supposed to be Carmella versus Becky. Then Charlotte basically earned a title opportunity by beating Carmella clean. And kind of the story has been like Lynch and Charlotte as like you know, friends and faces, kind of with a little bit of heat between them now because they both want to win.
Right, and I think that little bit of heat is what's going to cost them in the end.
Yeah, and Carmella wins.
Right, Carmella sneaks out of there while they're arguing or while they're doing something. She sneaks out with the win. That leads to more tension, maybe a fresh challenger, and whatever the case.
Yeah, I mean, and then, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Bliss versus Rousey.
This is another one that I am very excited to see because I'm going to get to watch Ronda Rousey, and that's pretty freaking cool. I honestly, like, the only way that Rousey should lose this match in some form is if Natalya is going to win the title on Raw. Like, I don't, otherwise, this is Rousey's title. This is her moment. This is even more so her moment because of, you know, what happened to her best friend's father recently. So I just think all of that stuff kind of works together and just, you know, builds a perfect picture for Rousey to win this title.
Yeah, I think this is going to sound like terrible saying this out loud, but Rousey's reaction on Monday Night Raw when she came out and she mentioned Natty and what happened with, you know, the anvil, I don't think it was a work the way she, you know, was like, she,
no,
you know,
she spoke, like, yeah, you could tell, yeah, that wasn't how she's been cutting promos. That wasn't how she's looked when she's in the ring, when she's cutting a promo. That was just Rousey. And I really, really, really liked that promo.
Yeah. It was a moment for the crowd, you know, like, I mean, I think some of the greats have had that, you know, where there's a moment where they're honest and you connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
1,000%.
And I mean, if people weren't in her corner already, that legitimate reaction,
right, and sympathy is a real thing.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, people use that kind of stuff, and you know, this was just a perfect, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, obviously. However, they spoke about it in the right way. You know, they let the person who's been her best friend, who's her training partner at the moment, go out there and just speak. And it helped Rousey's character. It helped Natalya's character. The fans chanted for the anvil. The fans chanted for Natty. So, you know, it was a really awesome moment for these things. They're so unfortunate. But if you can use them in the right way to help build someone else, then that's you take a positive from it, you know?
1,000%. There's no way that Rousey loses, right?
I don't know, man. Alexa is Alexa, and she's really good, and she's a really great heel, so she can find a way. But I don't think so. I think this is just Rousey's moment. I mean, I didn't like as soon as Alexa was describing her bodyguards on Monday, like, oh, these guys are trained killers, and like, okay, well, clearly Rousey is going to beat the crap out of all of them. But like, I don't like that you went and found the four most giant dudes and then just let Rousey get rid of them like ease. Yes, she probably would do that to 99.9% of men, but like, don't. I don't know. It felt like too obvious. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right away when she said it, I was like, oh, it's going to be four local dudes getting a tryout.
Yeah, they were big dudes, but clearly Rousey's going to kill all of them. So it was a fun little segment, but it was just like, okay, come on, guys.
All right. Well, then, so we both agree with Rousey. Moving on to another match. Yeah, we'll leave that one for last. So AJ versus Samoa Joe. AJ is the WWE champion. Man, this is crazy. Two TNA guys in the semi-main, right, basically.
Like Joe was ROH, but Joe put TNA almost on the map when he went there. And his stuff with Angle, his stuff with AJ and Daniels. So this is a feud, like, I love TNA. So I've watched all of that. So this is something that, you know, I can't wait to watch because, again, it's something that you never really think you'd see. So AJ Joe for the title at SummerSlam, you just know they're going to kill it. Either way, I'm happy with the winner here. I think AJ is the guy who comes out on top, maybe because he fights The Miz or Bryan or whoever next.
Yeah.
But I just think AJ is the guy. AJ is on another level right now. I'm not sure how long he's held that title, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I don't think he loses here just because, you know, keep a little bit of consistency with that title. I think you're gonna have a title switch with the Universal title, so I think you keep it on AJ, and you can have AJ and Joe again.
Yeah.
All right, and
yeah, maybe you have Joe choke him out after or something like that.
What everybody's been waiting for, the build up to Roman Reigns dethroning Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Man, by the way, Paul Heyman had me.
AJ has been champion for 280 days. Anyway, yeah, so go ahead, Heyman.
I mean, Heyman had me, man. I thought that crying thing was... Okay.
And we should all know this by now.
Yeah,
though.
I know it's
like
all a work.
Every time he does this.
Jesus Christ.
And it always comes back around.
It was so good.
So, it was awesome. And the... but, again, then it became a little too obvious. Like, oh, Heyman is saying that, oh, Roman can't beat him unless, when you know that that's what everyone has been talking about for a week, is, oh, well, maybe he leaves... Lesnar and goes to Reigns, right? That's what everyone was mentioning. So you know that. You play into that. You give everyone this little one-second clip that aired after last week's interview. And then you have this whole promo where he comes out. The Samoan stuff.
Oh, my God.
He mentioned that. That was absolutely epic. Like, yeah, they taught me that. And then just pepper spraying the crap out of him.
Do you think that part... Like, there's a part of me... that almost feels like Heyman just pulled that out. Like it was real and that they that wasn't scripted and
he pepper sprayed someone on live TV.
No, not the pepper spray. Yeah. Not the pepper spray. The Samoan when he spoke in Samoan.
There's
almost a part of me that's like
do I believe that absolutely happened? Yeah, I'm sure it did. Right. So, you know, that's something that he's had in his back pocket for that long. Heyman is a pure genius. If anyone ever had any doubt from ECW, then I don't know what to tell you. Like, just watch him, the guy now, he's even better than he ever was, which is saying something. He knows how to manipulate every single heartstring that you have, every emotion. He tugs at it, and then he flips it on you and makes you feel like an idiot for believing him. He's a genius. I can't wait to see this match, actually. It's always physical. It'll be a nice little brawl. Do we get to finally see Roman get the win? All right, yeah, that'll be cool because then I'm praying that Braun just comes out and crushes him. Either way, I better leave Barclays with Braun Strowman as the champion.
Yo, if I'm concerned for your well-being. I don't know how close you're sitting.
I don't either.
If Reigns wins and you get the feeling that Braun's not coming out, yeah, I don't care who you came with.
You want me to rush the ring?
Yo, get out of the building. Just leave, like, before things get bad. In Brooklyn...
I mean, this is a WWE crowd. This is not, like, a psychotic indie crowd. Like, I'm not worried about 12-year-olds.
I feel like this is level of, like...
their pretzels.
I feel like this is, like, if Cena would have won at One Night Stand against RVD.
No. This is, like... As much as people hate Roman Reigns, it's not that serious. Like, they just don't like the dude. It's not like a vitriol hate.
You think Tonga comes out?
He's not calling people like the F words and shit like that, you know?
You think Haku comes out and helps Roman win?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yo.
I don't see why not.
The firing squad shows up and helps Roman win.
Yeah.
Most over heels in the company.
Firing squad shows up to help Roman win, and then Omega and the Bucks show up to counteract him. Imagine they built like this whole story just while still in New Japan. That would be hilarious. Karen's just like, oh, yo, by the way, we're going to SummerSlam tomorrow. All right, sorry.
It just made me think of it because I just started thinking of like random dudes showing up at SummerSlam during this match.
Did.
And apparently.
Fashion booger.
No, apparently somebody was like. What would happen if Nash was booked at, like, SummerSlam or something? Something crazy? And he wrote, I'd probably tear my quad. Which I just wanted to cry. Like, yo.
Oh, that's epic.
Good on you for being able to laugh at yourself.
I mean, and yeah, he's always been a clown. He's always been a funny dude. That's great.
So I think here, Okay, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Reigns can lose again. Obviously he can, it seems.
if he loses again and Brock just leaves, oh my God. That dead and buried Roman Reigns. He was already dead and buried after the last loss. But you spun it, you built him back up as much as you could. If he loses again, oh man.
But like the way they book stuff, right? I'm just trying to think. Like, you know, Reigns is the babyface, right?
Correct.
Technically. And Lesnar's the heel. Strowman is a babyface.
Correct.
If Strowman comes in to cash in and
beats
Roman.
Right. What happens every time they fought? Who did the crowd cheer for?
But they don't want Braun. They don't want Reigns to be... Like, what do they want anymore? I just don't know. That's my thing.
What are you talking about?
Like... Is it bitter? Is it better?
They want Reigns as a good guy, but they know that Braun is Braun, and he's a lot better of a good guy than Roman is right now. A lot more over.
So then he's the guy. Who does he beat? Does he beat a?
I think he beats Roman.
A victorious.
They
Roman?
Have a history.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
It's not like they don't already have a beef. They don't already have a long-standing story. You know, so they've killed each other, literally thrown sets and trucks and. Anything you can think of on each other.
You took off a goddamn grappling hook.
Right. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I just think that makes sense. Braun beating Brock wouldn't be a bad idea either. But I just think Roman has to beat Brock to save his career right now. And then Braun beats Roman to also save Roman's career.
I hope it's bloody.
No, not again. If I go to 3 out of 4 SummerSlams and they all end in the same fashion, I would fight somebody.
All right. Well, that's it. Wow, we got through it. Pretty big episode. Oh no, yo, I didn't hit record. I think we have to start over.
Yeah. Oh well.
Is that cool?
Yeah. See you after SummerSlam.
Do you want to go in? So now that we covered WWE and all that other stuff, we're going to go into our CMLL coverage for the rest of the episode?
Absolutely. Break down every match from the entire CMLL half a year.
Hey, man. Taven's been down there. Okada's coming back, is coming to the company next week. But this week, it's going to be good times. I don't think they're airing the show, the first show he's going to be on, so it should be interesting.
Never of an announcement that, like, Okada is not going to win the G1. It was announcing that he was going to wrestle at CMLL next week.
they actually have on the poster like the world's greatest wrestler or something like that, Okada. And I'm like, yo, way to dump on everyone in your company.
Like, and everyone else.
Like, how could
wrestles.
You do that?
Well, I mean, you know, that's kind of a thing now. Okada's just seen that way, so it's probably not the worst thing.
If he doesn't get if he doesn't get 5 stars,
maybe he loses.
I lose to
some random guy that no one's ever heard.
I mean, unfortunately, Phoenix is Phoenix. If Phoenix was supposed to be like I think against him, and instead Phoenix isn't going to be at the show, so they basically like bumped everybody up. Like they bumped a guy from the second match to the third match, and then like so on and so forth, and. The guy who they put in instead of Phoenix, Diamante Azul, is...
Oh, boy.
He's... let's just say that he's not one of my favorites, and you watch it, and you know that you don't like any of it. So imagine me telling you, here's a dude I really don't like.
Yeah. Like, I haven't heard of most people in CMLL, but there are a few. That's not one of them, and he should not be the guy wrestling Okada, I assume. But, you know, it is what it is.
But a fun week in wrestling. We'll obviously cover this next week. And we'll also... we didn't really have time to squeeze it in. I'm away and my wife would probably kill me. But there are 3 shows for Ring of Honor. The Reunited Tour over in England. They're not going to be streamed live on Honor Club. They start, I believe, Thursday's the first show. And then I think it's Saturday, Sunday, I think it even is. But, you know, obviously since they're in England, they'll be earlier in the States. So I think those are available on Fight TV, but I'll definitely have watched those and possibly put my marriage on the line by nice. Watching that much wrestling by next week. All right, so with all that out of the way, just want to just make sure you guys check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, I'm sorry, at Running Wild LWOS. You can check us out on Facebook at Running Wild on Wrestling. Send us an email, runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love any of your predictions, your opinions of what we talk about and anything like that, that you listen, that you're not just a robot, and we'd really appreciate that. You can check out my ROH coverage over at pwpartings.com and ROHworld.com, and check me out on Twitter at rich_LACONI for just ridiculous takes and stupid stuff. All right, with all that out of the way, just want to remind you guys that you've been listening to the podcast. That is just too sweet.
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.